Well, good morning. Welcome to another News in Focus program. It's actually 12:07 p.m. and it's Friday, December 13th. The article I've chosen to upload a podcast on is entitled, Why Are So Many Pastors Committing Suicide? It's written by Jennifer LeClaire, Watchman on the Wall. CharismaNews.com is bringing this to us. Pastor Isaac Hunter, the son of spiritual advisor to President Obama, has reportedly taken his own life. Hunter's death is making national headlines because of his megachurch father, Pastor Joel Hunter's influence on the White House. His marriage troubles, an undated suicide note found last year, but his death is far from the only pastoral suicide in recent months. So let's pause for a moment here and pray for Isaac Hunter and his wife and their family, who, much like Pastor Rick Warren was grieving several months ago, must be just grieving beyond measure. And having a adult son or nearly an adult son, I can't imagine what is going through their hearts and minds as they do their very best to embrace the grace of God and trust in the Lord. And so, Father, we pray that you would comfort the Hunter family and that you would give them grace during this amazingly difficult time. Just days ago, a pastor who was grieving his dead wife reportedly shot himself in front of his mother and son, expressing that he was hearing his dead spouse's voice and footsteps. Pastor Ed Montgomery and his late wife, Prophetess Jackie Montgomery, served at the Full Gospel Assemblies International in Hazelcrest, Illinois. In November, a Georgia pastor killed himself in between Sunday services. Sims Parker, wife of Reverend Teddy Parker Jr., found the pastor in the driveway of their home with a self-inflicted gunshot wound, Houston County Coroner David Gafkin reports. Why the sudden rash of pastors committing suicide? Suicide is not a new problem among clergy, but three known suicides in less than 2 months begs a deeper look at the issue. There is no lack of statistics about pastors and depression, burnout, health, low pay, spirituality, relationships, and longevity, and none of them are good. According to the Chafer Institute, 70% of pastors constantly fight depression. 70%. 7 out of 10. 71% are burned out. Meanwhile, 72% of pastors say they only study the Bible when they are preparing for sermons. 80% believe pastoral ministry has negatively affected their families, and 70% say they don't have a close friend. Wow. What are we to make of this? The numbers are staggering. Having now been a pastor for only 7 years, but being an adult for nearly 30, having an entire career prior to being a pastor, let me just say right off the bat, being a pastor is unlike any job on the planet in many regards. And it's a job that you can't understand until you do the job. And I thought I knew it, but I didn't. I think the other thing that makes it exceptionally difficult is this celebrity pastor status that is created in the world we're living in which success is measured by the size of your congregation, the books you read, the number of people that want your autograph, and on and on and on. Pastors measure themselves by each other and other pastors on a regular basis. And the fact that we're living in such a global world in which how other pastors are doing and how many followers they have on Twitter and how many people like their Facebook page and all these ways of comparing and analyzing and contrasting and how many people listen to my podcast and how many downloads do I get and how many people check out the live webcast, and it just goes on and on and on. The inability to move congregations to grow, the inability to make them larger, the inability to impact stuff. Having previously served in the military where making things happen was what I did. It was routine business. Taking untrained soldiers and training them and turning them into warriors. Somehow you get the impression you can do the same thing with the work of the Lord, and you realize this is not your church. This is the Christ church. And He'll build it according to His timeline. But when others are being built larger and faster and yours isn't, the Chafer Institute reports that 80% of seminary and Bible school graduates will leave the ministry within 5 years. 80%. That's a startling number. It's not clear how many commit suicide, but it is clear that pastors are not immune to it. Psychologists point to several reasons why people commit suicide, from depression to psychosis to stressful life situations. But one thing's certain, whatever drives someone to take their own life ultimately begins in the mind. The mind. The mind is where suicide begins, and so controlling one's mind is absolutely essential to the victory against suicide. Suicide thoughts have numerous causes, according to the Mayo Clinic. Most often suicide thoughts are the result of feeling like you can't cope when you're faced with what seems to be an overwhelming life situation. If you don't have hope for the future, you may mistakenly think suicide is a solution. You may experience a sort of tunnel vision where, in the middle of a crisis, you believe suicide is the only way out. As it turns out, suicide thoughts are not uncommon. Nearly 8 million adults between the age of 18 and older in the United States, that's 3.7%, had serious thoughts about suicide in the last year. Where do these thoughts come from? Well, they come from the pit of hell. That's where they come from. These thoughts come from the pit of hell. They come from the father of lies. They are an assault against the work of the Lord in the life of the believer. They are to be recognized as such and combated. But one of the great difficulties is being honest. We read just a few minutes ago that pastors don't have close friends. They feel as though they live on islands without any ability to reach out and touch someone with honest feelings. Like, I feel like I'm going to commit suicide, or I doubt the existence of God, or I'm not sure I was called to preach. Questions that reflect a real transparency. Congregations are too quick to put preachers up on pedestals, and pastors like being on those pedestals, and so that combination is deadly. We fail to see them as real people who have true and genuine feelings and struggles like anybody else. Pastors often take the success of their work personal, and the rejection is overwhelming. You devote your week to a 45-minute sermon. You deliver it. 30-40% of your congregation doesn't even show up to hear it. Anything in the world can distract them from coming to church. You're told not to take that personal, but it's hard not to. It seems as though the sole reason you exist is to raise funds to keep the church going. And yet getting people to give at times seems incredibly difficult. Who do you communicate this with? Who do you have long conversations with? Who do you find an ability to be transparent with? Pastors compete for members of each other's churches and local towns, and so the inability to relate there is difficult. You're afraid of letting the, quote, hair down. who would say something about what they heard. I mean, who wants to go to a church where the pastor's having suicide thoughts, and so that can't come out because that would be a nightmare for the people to find out. Can't be a pastor if you're committing, having suicide thoughts. So you've got to put on this constant facade. No ability to be transparent. And therein lies the difficulty. That's the struggle. The blog goes on to make particular reference to securing the mind. She writes, if we want to win the battle against suicide in the pulpit and pew, we need to be, among many other things, take a hold of Scripture that instructs us to battle in our mind. Paul told us the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against God, the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Paul offers this advice, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything of praiseworthiness, think about these things, meditate on these things. So if you're a pastor out there and you're considering committing suicide, pastor@bbc@gmail.com, pastor@bbc@gmail.com. Would you send me a note right now? Introduce yourself. I'll immediately respond. Let's have a dialogue. If you're out there listening to this podcast and you're struggling, I want to help you. Let's develop a friendship no matter where you're at. You can count on me to keep it confidential. You can count on me to keep it confidential. I will not let you down. pastor@bbc@gmail.com. Send me a note. This is Sean Harris. Having a better understanding of what this article talks about, I want to help. And so if you are out there suicidal, grab your keyboard, send me a note, and let's start a conversation. And let's not give Satan the victory that he wants. In Jesus' name, let's not give it. Let's pray that pastors can find friends where they can be transparent, open, and honest with. And we'll pray this in Jesus' name. Have a great day.